Okay, we are holding at the beginning of the Gemara on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Mishnah had talked about a wide variety of cases involving Chershim, where we learned in the previous perek that a Ketana has Kedur, that the Chachamim made a Takana that a Ketana, even if Midaraisa, her father, is able to accept Kedushin on her behalf, and that marriage exists Daraisa, but other than that, if she's an orphan, or otherwise her father is out of the picture, we said that there's still a Takana that her mother or her brothers, or according to some Rishonim, she herself can be Mekadosh herself for reasons that we'll talk about in the Gemara. Similarly, the Rabbanan made a Takana that a Cheresh or Chereshes is able to give or receive Kedushin, and even if the marriage to begin with was only entered in Rabbanan. So if it was a cheresh to begin with who married a woman, then the same way is he able to marry her birmiza with the gestures, the same way he can give a get with gestures as well. Even though midaraisa, that wouldn't work, but since the whole marriage only exists dirabanan, then the divorce can be done dirabanan as well. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Amar Rami Bachama, Maishna. Now, one other detail is, we usually, you know, throughout Shas, we always have the triad of cheresh, shoyte, v'katan. Cheresh we just discussed, katan we discussed. What about shoyte? We don't find our Mishnah or any other Mishnah talking about any takanas that they made as far as a shoita being able to get married or divorced, except that our Mishnah had said that if you have a wife who became a shoita, then you can't divorce her, which we'll talk about soon in the Gemara. Why? So Amar Rami Bar Chama, Maishna Cheresh V'Chereshes. What's the difference? Why is it when it comes to a male or female Cheresh, again, means a deaf mute, to Takinu Luhu Rabbanan Nisuin, where even though Midaraisa they're incapable of marriage, but the Rabbanan made a takana, that they could. Why is it when it comes to a male or female shoita that Rabbanan did not make such a takana? And we know that the Tanya shoita of a katan should nasim nashim umesu. If a shoita or a katan marry women and then they die, nishasein p'turas mina chalitza mina yibum, then their wives are completely potter from chalitza and yibum. Unlike the cheresh and chereshes of our Mishnah, where a cheresh's wife is going to be chayev and yibum midrabanan, because midrabanan, on a drabanan level, she was married to him, but a shoita's or a katan's wife is not. So why? The reason is cheresh v'chereshes to kaimer takanta drabanan, because when it comes to a cheresh or a chereshes, yes, midaraisa they can't get married because they don't have enough da'at, because they don't have das, but they do have enough understanding to be able to enter into a marriage and stick to it, and the takana of the Rabbanan will stay in effect. The Rabbanan are able to make a takana that a cheresh or a chereshes is able to get married, and it will remain in effect. They will, practically speaking, be able to run a household and maintain a married life. Therefore, takinu l'Rabbanan nisuin. Therefore, the Rabbanan made a takana, they should get married. Shoita v'shoita, but when it comes to a male or female shoita, deloy kaima takanta de Rabbanan, where the takana of the Rabbanan will not last anyway. If they make them a takana, they can get married. The marriage is anyway not going to last. De'ein adam dorim nachash b'kfifa achas, because, as the expression goes, a person can't be expected to live in one basket together with a snake. Meaning, in other words, not the shoita or the shoita, it's not that they're maliciously going to do anything wrong, but because they're mentally deficient, you know, it's going to be very difficult for anybody to live with them. So anyway, they're not going to stay married for very long. Therefore, they takin the Rabbanan nisuin, so the Rabbanan did not bother making a takana of nisuin for them, because anyway, it's not going to last very long.
So what do they do? Shoitin and shoita.
So then, if they got married when they were normal, yeah, then actually you have a problem. As a man who is a shoita is not able to give a get, and a woman who is a shoita, as we said in the Mishnah, midrabanan, is not able to receive one.
So shoitin and shoita, can they get together with like a pilegesh or something like that?
So whether we as a pilegesh, I don't know. According to the Rambam, a pilegesh is also to everybody except for a king. Yeah. So I don't know what he'd say about that. Yeah, maybe we would say, since there's no other alternative, then yeah, or maybe we would just say that, you know, they don't get married, they're shoitim anyway, they may not notice the difference so much. I don't know. It may be one of those case-by-case kinds of things. Okay. Next question. Fine. Let's go on. Why did the Rabbanan not make a takana that a katan is able to get married? Now, katan is able to get married, we said before, but the Rabbanan did not make a specific takana that he should. Whereas a cheresh, the Rabbanan made a specific takana. Or actually, with a katan, we just said, for example, a katan's wife is potter from chalitza and yibum, implying that his marriage is not even considered a marriage to Rabbanan. Why not? The answer is cheresh delay osi lekal nisuin, because the cheresh is never going to be able to be in a situation where they can have nisuin deraisa.
No.
Therefore, takinu rabbanan nisuin. So therefore, the rabbanan felt it necessary to arrange for nisuin in order that the person eventually, this cheresh, should be able to have children. We learned earlier in the masechta that it's important pru avu is a mitzvah on men, and even women have a thing. The idea loytoyu bra l'shevet yitzara. They should have created the world to be populated. You want to make it possible for them, so therefore they should have nisuin. Katan to osi lekal nisuin. Whereas a cotton, fine, right now, why should he bother? Why jump the gun and make him able to do nisuin now? He's anyway, in a few years, he's going to be able to reach the age of nisuin deraisa. So the rabbanan were not misakin that his nisuin have any effect, because he can only wait a few years. He won't be bottle anyway. He'll have plenty of chances to do peri viruvia.
But a man where it marries a katana, any problem?
That's what we're going to talk about now. Right. The question is, Varektana de Astil Khan Nisuin, Takinu Rabbanan Nisuin. Nu, Aktana is also able to eventually be of age for Nisuin, and yet the Rabbanan went to the trouble of making the Takana that you're able to do Nisuin with Aktana, and as we learned in the previous parak, that can be dissolved with Miun. Why?
What, that Takana is only, that's only Midur Rabbanan, right?
So you have the concept that Aktana can get married itself exists Daraisa. The father has rights over his daughter, that he's able to be Makabal Kedushin on her behalf. But if there's no father, we're saying that Rabbanan still made a takana. Why is that? Hasam shleinu gvo minag hefker. The reason is because we don't want people to treat her hefker. Right? You know, those times obviously were different than now. An unattached girl, people could freely think that they could take advantage of her. Minag hefker business, Rashi says. So therefore, you want to avoid that, and therefore you want to make it possible for her to get married off young. Whereas with a cotton, there's no such issue, and therefore might as well just wait till he's a gadol. Okay, next question. Speaking of differences between ktana and cher, and between a ktana and a chershes, umayshna ktana de mamarna, what's the difference? Why the rabbanon made a takana? Given that the rabbanon made a takana that a ktana can get married for the reasons we just said, and that a chershes can get married, why is it that a ktana can do miun, as we learned in the previous perek, umayshna chershes de loy mamarna, and why not a chershes? Why does she need an actual get? The difference is de imken mimni ivroy nasvila. The difference is that if a chereshes was allowed to do miyun also, nobody would want to marry her. Why? Rashi says, because with a chereshes, there's no deadline for it. A ktana, you know, you're marrying her, she's 9 years old, let's say. You know, as long as you keep her happy for the next 3 years, she won't be able to do miyun.
Chereshes will change her mind right away.
Yeah, or whatever. It's an indefinite thing. So therefore, nobody's going to want to marry her in the first place. Or, other mefarshim say, the vort is, that a chereshes has a physical defect. Nobody's going to want to marry her with that defect if they know that she's going to be able to get out of it so easily. Because then why am I bothering to go to the whole trouble of marrying her and providing for her, whatever, if one day she can wake up and say, you know what, I want out. Mashenkin with a katana, she doesn't have an actual defect. She's young. Okay, but, you know, she'll grow up.
Yeah.
So people wouldn't object to marrying her in the first place. And therefore the fact that she could do miyun during those next few years doesn't faze them as much. Okay. Next question. What's the difference? Why we say, hello, that a ktana who's married to a kohen is able to eat truma de rabbanon, whereas a chershes is not allowed to eat any kind of truma, even if she's married to a kohen. We see, as the Gemara is going to bring now a Mishnah, that we still don't allow her, we don't treat her as the Kohen's wife to the extent that she can eat Truma even to Rabbanon. Why not? And we know this, Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah, in Adias, the first half of it we quoted in our Mishnah, Heid Rabbi Yechon ben Gudgada ala Chershes Sheisiyavia. Rabbi Yechon ben Gudgada said Eidos, and whenever any of the Eidos that are said in Masechta Adias, the Halacha is like him, that a Chershes whose father married her off, so she was a Ktana and a Chershes, but her father married her off, so therefore that's fully effective deraisa. She yotz a get, that she needs a get to be divorced, and that you're able to give her a get. You don't say she's a chershes, she's not able to receive it.
Isn't that takana midur rabbanan?
No, the point is, since her father married her off, we're saying if she's a ktana, forget chershes or normal. If she's a ktana, her father has rights on her deraisa.
Right, okay.
He's able to marry her off deraisa.
Right.
Therefore, she needs a get. And the chiddush is, even though we said in the Mishnah, now in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri had argued, wait a minute, if a man who's a chersh is not allowed to give his wife a get where the marriage existed deraisa, where he was a pekeach when he married her, then why is a chershes able to be divorced with a get? And we'll learn in the Gemara on Omid Beis what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's argument is. The point is, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudguda is saying not like that. Even though her marriage exists d'oraisa, and this is the only way in which a cheresh's marriage can exist d'oraisa, assuming she was a cheresh's congenitally. Nevertheless, you're able to divorce her with a get, because you don't need her das for the get. Which Tosfos points out that at the beginning of the perek that actually Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri's point was that at the time you give her the get, she may not realize what's going on. Maybe it shouldn't be a valid get. Nevertheless, that's not a problem, because eventually you'll tell her, you'll explain to her, unlike with a shoita, where the Gemara is going to say later, it's impossible to explain to her, you've received a get, you're now not married to this guy anymore, which she's not going to understand that. A cheresh, at least you can manage to gesture to her and make her understand it. Anyway. And the Mishnah continues. Va'aktana basisil shenisus l'kayin shaycheles betruma. Also, Rabbi Yechim and Gudguda said edus about aktana, a basisrael, who's married to a kayin, that she can eat truma de rabbanon, that is. The ilu cherishes loyachla, where evidently the implication is a cherishes cannot eat truma, which Tosfos points out. The implication is because the fact that the first half of the Mishnah he mentioned cherishes, and all of a sudden the second half he changes to aktana, shows the cherishes is not included. So we see that a cherishes, the wife of a kohen, is not allowed to eat truma, whereas a ketana is able to eat truma de rabbanan. Why? What's the difference? The reason is gzeira shemiyachu cherish becherishes. The reason is we make a gzeira because what happens if not only the wife is a cherishes but also the husband is a cherish? Well, then the marriage only the marriage only exists de rabbanan. Mela, if she was a cheresh married off by her father, fine, the marriage exists d'oraisa. But if it was a cheresh married a cheresh, because he's a cheresh, the marriage only exists d'rabanan. And because of that, we don't want to allow her to eat truma. Question is, so what? What's the problem? V'leichel. So what if she eats? Katan oichel nevelasu. It'll be a case, effectively, where you have, it's the equivalent of a katan who's doing an aveira on his own, where, as we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, we have a whole sugya about it tomorrow, that Beis Din does not have to prevent him from doing that. We learned that we had briefly about that yesterday. We had the case over there of a yavam katan who marries who does yibum with a yavam gdola, where even though there's the possibility that he's a Swiss, never. Nevertheless, we say it's not, not a young girl, a Yavam Ketana, rather, where both he and she are Ketanim, and we said even according to the mayor, we're not worried about the possibility that he might end up being a Swiss or she might end up being an Ilonis, because at worst it's a Katan Oichel Nevelis. So the same thing over here. Let's say, for example, yes, let's say this Cherishes ends up eating Truma D'oraisa. What's the problem? It's a Katan Oichel Nevelis. We're in the middle of learning.
What about the fact that you have to have a truma has to be the kedusha of
tahara? So they'll eat the tahara, fine. But the point is, if we're worried about that she might, that from eating truma de rabbanon she might end up eating truma de araisa, it's a big deal. Even if we're worried about truma de rabbanon, whatever it is, big deal. Why should we make a takana that she can't eat truma at all in case she comes to eat something also? Even if she eats something also, there's no reason for us to be worried about it. The answer is, gzeira shemiyachu cheresh b'kachas. Okay, but we have a different angle on it. What happens?
Right?
What?
If the door is open.
No, I'm not so sure. Yeah, I don't think so. No, because you have there's if it was completely open, it would be one thing. Yeah, okay. The reason is gzeira shemiyachu cheresh b'pikachas. Okay, but the reason is rather a little bit different. What if the husband is a cheresh and the wife is a pikachas? She's a pikachas. She's a gdola. She's responsible for her actions. You can't say cut noich on the velas. With her, we tak have to be sure that she's not eating truma. And her husband is a cheresh. She's only married to her d'rabbanan. She has no right to eat truma. Because of that, we have to make the gzeira. So Rashi points out it's kind of a two-step argument. What we're saying is it's not so much that when we're saying that a pikeach who's married to a cheresh, she's not allowed to eat truma. The problem is it's kind of a two-step thing. A pikeach married to a cheresh might be confused with a cheresh who's married to a cheresh, and that in turn might be confused with a cheresh who married a pikachas. It's sort of a gzeira l'gzeira, but the Ritva I think points out that it isn't really, because it's all one big gzeira. It's all the same gzeira that we don't want cheresh to be involved in eating truma at all, because people will get confused and you'll end up in this part in particular. In this case, the pikachas is going to wind up eating truma that she's not allowed to. Whereas with the Ketana, there's not such an issue of that. A Ketana's not getting married anyway. We're not going to think to confuse a Ketana getting married with a Ketana getting married, because we established before that a Ketana's marriage doesn't even exist really. And therefore, there's less of an issue to be worried about. Okay. Next case. One more thing. The cheresh b'pekachas nami lechol b'truma d'rabbanon. Fine. Even if it's a cheresh married to pekachas, why can't she eat truma d'rabbanon? The answer is gzera duma osi lechol b'truma d'raisa. It's gzera because if you allow her to eat truma d'rabbanon, he may end up feeding her truma d'raisa. Where again, we have this two-step argument over there that the pikachas is too easily confused with the chershes who's married to a pikach, and therefore we ban all of them from eating any kind of truma. The pikachas herself, the only one that really would technically be a problem is her eating truma d'araisa, because she's not married to her husband the cheresh. Theoretically, she should be able to eat truma d'rabbanon, but because of the various cases, d'rabbanon is too easily confused with d'araisa. Therefore, we put it all off limits. Next, another difference between a ketana and a chereshes is the matter of a ksuba. U'maish naktana de'is l'ksuba, u'maish nachereshes de'las l'ksuba. Why is it when it comes to a ketana, she has a ksuba, she gets her 200 zuz or whatever, whereas when it comes to a chereshes, she doesn't? The answer is de'imkein mimani v'lem nasvila. Same idea as we said before about the miyun. We want to make it easier. We want to give people an incentive to marry a chershes. Otherwise, she may well remain unmarried. By not having to give her a ksuba, people are more likely to have an incentive to want to marry her. They'll save a few bucks.
When does the ketana get a ksuba after normal init?
After a geirushin or after her husband dies, right? If she does miyun, she's not entitled to a ksuba.
But then don't they write a ksuba at the nisuin as opposed to kedushin?
They write the ksuba at the nisuin, yes. But we learned in the previous parak, Bishamai held that she can't do miyun from nisuin, or not so much that she can't, but she shouldn't. Basil says you can do it after nisuin as well.
Okay,
the question is, ketana menolam de isla ksuba, where you're taking it as a given that ketana has a ksuba. Where do you get that from? The answer is ditnan, because we actually learned a Mishnah. Hamama enes, a girl who does miyun, Vashnia, or if she was a shnia, if she was aser to her husband because of a relationship, d'rabbanan, as we talked about in the second parak. Va'ailoinis, or if the girl is an ailoinis, and the point is the husband didn't know about it when he was makadisher, so now it's a mekach tor, he married her under mistaken premises. In all those cases, ain lahem ksuba, so they don't get their ksuba. In the first and last, in the case of the Mama'enes, basically, you know, she's the one who wanted out of the marriage, so he doesn't, you know, you don't make him pay huksuba. In the case of the Shnia, we learned previously that the Rabbanon did a knas on that because she shouldn't have married him because it was also Midrabbanon. And in the third case, because it was Mekachtos. But continues the Mishnah, Ava Yotze Beget, but a woman who's divorced with a get. Uktana, specifically if she's a ktana, so even if she's a ktana, how much more so if she's a gerla, yesh laksuba, then she has a ksuba. So we see that a ktana intrinsically does have a ksuba, and if her husband ends up divorcing her with a get, then she collects her ksuba. Or similarly, if her husband dies. The chereshes menolam deles laksuba. Conversely, how do we know a chereshes does not have a ksuba? The tanya, because we learn in a braisa. Cheresh v'shoyte shenosu pichos, if a cheresh or shoyte marry a normal woman, and we said before, okay, the cheresh, the marriage existed abanan, the shoyte doesn't exist at all. So then even if afterwards the cheresh gets opened up, he's able to hear and speak, or the shoyte becomes normal. Nevertheless, the wives have no particular claim on them because they didn't have das at the time. They didn't have das at the time, so you can't claim ksuba on the basis of the original marriage, because at the time of the original marriage, they had no das. Rotsu l'kaimon, but if, so that's in other words, if the husbands want to divorce them at that point.
Yeah, well, the woman could say, if they have no das, she's not getting ksuba, let her go.
In the case of the shoyta, she'd be able to, because the marriage was never a marriage. In the case of the cheresh, the marriage existed d'rabbanan. Rotsu l'kaimon, on the other hand, if the husbands do want to stay married to them, yesh lahem ksuba, then the wives do have a ksuba, because then at that point you have a new das. It's like you're making a new kedushin. And the braisa continues, a shaita. Conversely, if a pekeach marries a chereshes or a shaita, afilu kasav la'mea mana, even if he writes her out a ksuba of 100 mana, which is far beyond the normal amount. The normal amount is a mana for a ba'ula or masayim, 200 zuz for a b'sula. So he writes 100 mana. Ksubasa kayemis. Nevertheless, the ksuba is still valid. He has to pay it out. Because he decided on his own. He wants to make a hezek to his own property. He's able to do that. He made a tanai. In other words, a tanai shem amam and kayim. So he decided voluntarily that he wants to lose a lot of money. Okay.
He's got das. He can do it.
Yeah, exactly. So what do we see? Time of the Ratza. Why does she have a ksuba? Only because he wanted to write one. Holei Ratza, which implies if he doesn't want, Eimla, then she doesn't have one. And again, the reason is, Dimken Mimani Vle Nasvila, because again, you have the problem that people are not going to, if you make it that you have to give a ksuba to a chershes, nobody's going to want to marry her. Again, unlike a ktana, where at least she's going to grow up in a few years, unlike a ktana who doesn't have a mum, whereas a chershes does, so therefore the Rabbanan wanted to make it easier on him. And therefore, so Tosfos points out, isn't the whole purpose of a ksuba is shalite kala ba'in of laitzia, that you don't want to make it too easy on him to divorce her. So here Tosfos says that Rabbanan were not choshish for that. That Rabbanan were not worried about that. And actually, so why taka are they not worried? So the Mefarshim talk about why, but unfortunately I don't remember why. Actually, if you give me that Gemara a second, I'll see what they quote in the notes over here. The vort is that the vort is they quote over here from Rashba and various other Mefarshim that usually the idea is that we say that if a husband stays with his wife without a ksuba, it's considered be'ilas znus. And the reason is because the wife herself is always unsure. He might divorce me any moment. She's a chershes. She doesn't have complete das. So she's not worried about that. Therefore, we're not worried about that either, and we don't consider it be'ilas znus.
She doesn't
have a seichel
to leave.
Yes, in other words, she has a seichel. Well, she has what the Gemara is going to call later daita klisha. She has a weak das, but not a full das, and therefore not enough that she's going to constantly be worried. You know what? There's no ksuba. It's very easy for my husband to give me a get. And therefore, since she's not worried about it, neither are we.
What about a regular woman that says, she wants to get married, but she says maybe they can't afford the ksuba, she's willing to... Well, she could probably... She can be mochel or ksuba.
We'll learn in ksubas about the dinim of whether she can be mochel or ksuba and so forth, but basically the idea is there always has to be a ksuba on the nechasim of the husband. There always has to be some kind of shibun on his nechasim, precisely for this reason, because you don't want to shalai take halaba in of laitzia. Okay, the question is, ihachi, if that's the case, pikachas l'cheresh litkin l'ksuba, if a cheresh marries a pikachas, then there should be a takano of ksuba, dim kein mimani v'leim minasvi. Same idea. You want to make it easier for the cheresh to get married, because otherwise, you want to make people want to marry a cheresh, and therefore you should give her a ksuba, so that she'll have an incentive, a financial incentive, to want to marry him. The answer is you don't need that. Because even more than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to get married. The famous expression that the Gemara quotes in a number of places, tavlamaita tandu, a woman would rather live together with somebody else than to live alone.
Even though she's got a mitzvah.
Yeah, she doesn't have the mitzvah approval, but still, you know, for sociological reasons, therefore, she doesn't need the incentive. She doesn't need the financial incentive to want to marry a cheresh. If a cheresh is the only one who's available, then fine, she'll marry him even without a financial
cheresh
incentive.
Cheresh has no ksuba.
We just said that a cheresh does not have a ksuba. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Gemara tells a story. Hachu cheresh to have a b'shiva vusid in Rav Malkiyah. There was a certain cheresh living in the neighborhood of Rav Malkiyah in Sive Itza. So Rav Malkiyah arranged for him to made a shidduch for him, arranged for him to marry a woman because of la arameya zuzim in chase. And he wrote out a ksuba, even though we just said a cheresh marries a pikachas, the chachamim were not masakir a ksuba. Rav Malkiyah wrote out a ksuba for 400 zuz. Amar Rava, so Rava says, you know what? That was actually a good idea. Man Chakim could have Malkia. Think of who could possibly be as wise as her Malkia to Gavir Rabahu. He's a great man. In other words, he had a very sensible svara over here to realize why Ksuba. Kasava, because her Malkia figured, look, Ilu Ratsa Shifcha L'Shamshay, If this cheresh forget about a wife, what if he wanted to buy a maidservant to take care of the house for him? Milay zavninim lay. Wouldn't we, the Beis Din, buy one for him? Because just as there's an expression throughout Shas, Beis Din aviyim sho yisoyimim hi, that Beis Din is like the father of orphans, so also with cheresh and other people who can't take care of themselves, Beis Din is their protector. They're apotropos. In modern terms, we'd say these people are wards of the state. So then, based in so the cheresh is a ward of the state. He's based in a ward, WARD. I mean, like somebody who's protected, like somebody who's under the protection of the state. So here also, they're under the protection of the based in.
So
therefore, based in ward. Consider it in his best interest to take some of his money and spend it to buy a shivcha. How much more so it's worthwhile for Beis Din, it's in his best interest to pay out a ksuba, where by marrying he gets both. He gets the services, he's able to do peruvu, and he gets the services. His wife helps around the house and then serves him like a shivcha. As we're learning ksubas.
But how does the cheresh have income to be able to pay it?
He doesn't have an income. He has an inheritance. Whatever. And besides, maybe a cheresh is able to do some jobs. I don't know.
So he's able to do menial.
Obviously, if Malkiah felt 400 zuz, then he felt, you know.
He must probably have.
Because
money.
We just said, because the Rabbanon usually did not make a takana that a cheresh gives a ksuba to his wife, because we don't need to give her an incentive to marry him. A woman anyway wants to get married. If all that's available is a cheresh, she'll marry him, because whereas the other way, and we said the other way around, a man, a pikeach, who marries a chereshes, we also weren't masakin a ksuba, because if we make him pay her a ksuba, then he's not going to want to marry her in the first place, and we want a chereshes to have a chance to get married also. Yeah, so we just said that's not such an issue, because a chereshes doesn't feel. That's what we just said. That's what we just said. Normally a cheresh or a chereshes, there's no takana of a ksuba. By both. Either a cheresh who marries a pikachas, or a pikeach who marries a cheresh. Either way, there's no specific takana to make a ksuba. So in a case like this, of Rav Malkiah's case, we say it was a special situation where he realized that it's actually in this case in the cheresh's best interest.
Why not a normal ksuba?
So we said, because in the case of a cheresh, you want to give people an incentive to marry a cheresh. If they have to pay out a ksuba, they're not going to want to bother. They say, I might as well marry a pikachas. And a cheresh who marries a pikachas, you don't need an incentive, because the pikachas is going to be willing to get married to whoever she can find anyway.
But
the tavla meis of tandu.
Why by regular wife?
Because by a regular wife, you want to give a man, and you because lo take halabena, lo tzia. You don't want to make it too easy for husbands to divorce their wife.
But in those days, it wasn't usual for cheshen to have much shechush.
No, in this case he did. In this case he had 400 zuz. Obviously he had money. No. Another din, we're talking about this whole business of whether a cheresh and a chereshes are able to get married. The wife of a cheresh, since we said in the Mishnah she's only married to him d'rabbanan, therefore if somebody goes and is mezana with her, and actually if he's not sure, if he was not if he's not sure, if somebody is mezana with her, we don't say that she's a suffolk eshes ish. And if he was, then he'd be chayev an asham toli. Because what's an asham toli? Where you're not sure if you did something which is chayev koris b'mezid or a chatas b'shoigig. Therefore, you bring an asham toli until the matter gets cleared up. Here, what we're saying is, ein chayev an ala asham toli. You're not chayev an asham toli. We do not consider it to be a suffik. We say that we don't say is it a suffik whether he had das. We say, no, he definitely does not have das. He definitely does not have kinyan min ha-toira. Question is, Lema Messiah, okay, can we say that the following Mishnah supports what Shmuel is saying? The Mishnah says, the first Mishnah in Trumas, Chamisha lo yitrim, who five kinds of people are not allowed to take Truma, the Imtomu en Trumas and Truma, and if they did, what they took is not considered Truma. The Elohein, Cheresh Shoit of a cotton, the Atodim is Shaina Shaloy, and somebody who takes Truma from produce that's not his, where the Balabas didn't tell him to. If he did, then he's a Shliach. Then a person is able to appoint a Shliach to take Truma, but in this case he did it without the owner's permission. And the fifth one is a Goy who takes Truma from a Jew's produce, even if it was with permission of the Yin. So what's the idea? The Pasuk says, when it comes to giving Truma, the Pasuk uses the expression, Ken Terumu Gam Atem. So we learn from that the gam has to be somebody who's similar to atem. Just like, so, you have das, therefore the person you're appointing on your behalf has to have das. So that cuts out the cheresh shoyt v'katan. You're doing it with your consent, with your agreement. Therefore, gam atem also has to be with your consent. So that cuts out the guy who does vatora mishrein shaloi. And atem, you are bnei bris, you belong to the Jewish people. Gam atem, therefore, also have to be bnei bris. So that cuts out the guy.
That seems more of a ribui than a miyad. Gam atem, including only...
No, but it means it only includes people who are similar to you. So from that pasuk, gam atem, we learn the whole concept of shlichus. But the shliach has to be, in order for it to be a valid shliach, the shliach has to be similar to you. So he has to have das, it has to be with your consent, and it has to be a yid. Now, so what do we see from that? Now the point is, if we consider that a cheresh, we're not sure whether he has das, then the truma that he took would be sofik truma. We learned previously in the Masechta, and it's mentioned in various places in Shas, that when you have Suffolk Truma, many times what you say is Truma v'yachsa v'yitrim. What the person took off is considered Truma, and you have to give it to the Kohen, and it has all the dinim of Truma, but you have to take Truma again to be on the safe side, if it was a Suffolk. The fact that the Mishnah is not saying that, the fact that the Mishnah says, blanket statement, what a Cheresh takes, is not considered Truma, that means it's not a matter of a Suffolk. He doesn't have Das. Same thing then, his marriage is definitely not a marriage.
He can tell them the same?
No, what?
No, the
Yachsav Yitrim would have to be a different thing of Tura, different.
Why?
Because what he took is already, if it's Suffolk, then maybe it already belongs to the Kayan. But we talked about that earlier.
But to make it sure.
Yeah.
No, Yachsav Yitrim.
Sometimes Yachsav Yitrim can mean the same thing, but generally not. Especially in some cases, we can't say him. Anyway, whatever. So therefore, so that Mishnah seems to be supporting what Shmuel says, that a Cheresh definitely does not have Das, and therefore his wife is not considered his wife. Minatura. The answer is not necessarily, because you could say Huda Amak Rabbi Elazar. You could say that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar. The Tanya, Rabbi Yitzchak, Omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Trumas Cheresh Loi Teitz L'Cholim, Mepnei Shehu Safek. That if a Cheresh takes Truma, Elazar being a Tanya, he can argue with the Mishnah, and he says that a Cheresh is Truma, does not go out to Cholim, unlike the Tanya of the Mishnah, who said that Ein Trumas Yitz Truma, meaning it's 100% Cholim, Rabbi Yitzchak, in the name of Rabbi Elazar, says no, it's Safek. Mepnei Shehu Safek. So therefore, by the same logic, we could say over here, yes, so not necessarily does the Mishnah, so Shmuel might be holding according to Rabbi Elazar, and therefore implicitly disagreeing with the Mishnah. Question is, Isvir Rabbi Elazar, Ashim Talui Nami Lichayev. Well, then we're back to, we said that Shmuel said you're potter from an Ashim Talui for the wife of a Cheresh. If he holds like Rabbi Elazar that a Cheresh is Suffolk, whether he has Das or not, then by the same token, it's a Suffolk, whether his wife is his wife or not. The answer is because in order to be chayev and asham talui, it has to be that there are two pieces there where one is also one is mutter, and you're not sure which one you ate. The classic case of asham talui is you had two pieces of fat in front of you. One is chaylev, one is shuman. You ate one of them, the other one got lost, and now you're not sure which one you ate. Over here, you don't have shtei chatichas. There's one woman over here. You're not sure of her own status. That would be the equivalent of you have a piece of fat over here, which you're not sure if that piece itself is chaylev or shuman. We would say, you know why Shmuel is saying that you're potter from an asham talui is because maybe it is a suffix whether the cheresh has das or not, but you don't have shtei chatichas over here. You don't have it's not ischazik isura. You don't have a chazaka that there's definitely something here which is aser. Question is, why Rabbi Elazar doesn't hold of that concept that you have to have shtei chatichas to be chayav for Hashem Talui, v'hatanya, because we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Elazar Omer, koi, or some yeshivalite say kvi, whatever. It's a type of animal where it's a suffix, whether it's a chaya or a behema. The Gemara and Cholin has a few different possible definitions. It's a berry of a fnei. It's a type of creature which we're not sure if it's a chaya or a behema, or it's a hybrid of a chaya and a behema. Taya shabala tzivya, a male goat. It's the offspring of a male goat and a female deer. Whatever it is.
The biggest shaila about the chaylev.
Now the point is right. So the chaylev of a behema is also you chayav kares on it. The chaylev of a chaya is mutter. So a koi, are you allowed to eat its chaylev or not? Koi chayavin al chalbay asham talui, and Rabbi Elazar, I'm a koi chayavin al chalbay asham talui. And Rabbi Elazar says, you are chayav, because you have a suffix whether this is a chaya or a behema. There's no shtei chatichas, you have a suffix in the geder of this thing itself, is it also a mutter? And we see, he says, you need an asham talui. By the same token, Rabbi Elazar should hold, and if Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar, he should also hold, that if you have, that if somebody is mezana with the wife of a cheder, she is chayav in asham talui. Same idea, it's a suffix whether she's an HSH or not. The answer is Shmuel Savak Rabbi Elazar b'chado, Polagalei b'chado. You could say that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar in one thing. He holds like him in the sense that when Rabbi Elazar says that a cheresh is a suffix whether he has das or not, Shmuel agrees with that. But he disagrees on him. Shmuel, Rabbi Lazar would hold that you don't need shtei chatichas, and Shmuel would hold you do. So therefore you wind up with, so you don't necessarily have to say that Shmuel agrees with the Mishnah in Trumas. He might hold with Rabbi Lazar that the Truma of a Cheresh is a Safek. But he would also hold, unlike Rabbi Lazar, that you only chayev an Oshem Tali if you have a Metziyos there, which you know is also. And here you don't, because you don't know if she's an Eishes Ish or not. That's one version. Ve'ikad Amri, a different version. Amr Rabchiya Ba'ashi Amr Shmuel. Eishes Cheresh Chayoven Alei Oshem Tali. According to the second version, Vakeh. The Rabchiya Ba'ashi said in the name of Shmuel that the wife of a Cheresh you are chayev an Oshem Tali for. Mesvis, and now we have a contradiction from the Mishnah in Trumas. Before we wanted to bring it as a proof for him. Now that we're saying the other way around, then it becomes a contradiction. Chamishalo Yitremu, when we said the Cheresh is among them. And the answer is, like before, Savalak Rabbi Lazar. You could say that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Lazar, and therefore that he would hold that a cheresh it really is a suffolk whether he has das or not, and if it's suffolk whether he has das, then you're back to the issue that his wife is a suffolk eishes ish or not. If he holds that you don't need shtei chatichas, then you're chayiv in an ashem talud. Getting back to Rabbi Lazar, Boy Rabashi, my time with Rabbi Lazar. When we're saying that Rabbi Lazar is saying by the wife of a cheresh that you would be chayiv in ashem talui, why? Mifshit pshitalei de cheresh daita klish sehu. Is it that Rabbi Lazar knows for a fact that a cheresh has a das? It's just a minimal das. He's not. He doesn't understand fully like other people does. But he doesn't understand fully like the way other people do. But. But then the suffix is idaita tzilusa ilav daita tzilusa. So the question would be, given that, let's say, he's a cheresh, he only understands half as much as other people do. But within that half, within that 50%, is it considered a clear das? The 50% that he does understand, is that he understands it fully, or is it maybe even within that itself, you're not sure? And that would be the suffix. And according to that way of looking at it, the cheresh always, throughout his life as a cheresh, always has the same kind of das. We always assume that his intelligence is at the same level. Or maybe the Rabbi Lazar knows for a fact that he has a weak das, not a full das. And he also knows that even that partial das is not really so clear. Sometimes he knows more, sometimes less. Effectively, then, according to the second way of looking at it, Rabbi Lazar would say that sometimes he's more normal, sometimes he's less normal. Sometimes his das gets to the point where he's able to understand fairly well what's going on, sometimes not. And in that case, then you would have the suffix would be, when he was Makadish this woman, did he have a clearer das or not? So the two ways of looking at the suffix, the two ways of looking at Rabbi Lazar's suffix, whether we say that his partial das is always on the same level, so then the question becomes, is a partial das enough to affect a kiddushin? Or is it that his partial das sometimes is more, sometimes is less? And then you're not sure, how was it when he did the kiddushin? Okay, the question is, l'mai nafkamina? What's the practical difference? Why we need to know that? The answer is, l'hoitzi ishta beget. The question would be, can this cheresh divorce his wife with a get? If he was a cheresh all his life, according to Rabbi Lazar, would he be able to give his wife a get? Now, we learned in the Mishnah that he can, but would Rabbi Lazar disagree with that? Iyamat chada daitahu, if he say he always has the same level of das, well, fine, kikidushin kachgerushin. Then there's no question. The same level of intelligence that he had, that he was able to do the kiddushin, he was able to gesture that he wants the kiddushin done. And that works, kach gerushin, the same thing that works as far as telling the sofer to write a get. He can't speak and he can't hear, but he can make motions that we know, and we know that his das is basically is the same as it was at the time of the kedushin, so therefore he can do gerushin. But the amit itim cholim v'itim shoyte, but if you were to say that sometimes his intelligence is greater and sometimes less, sometimes he's considered more like a normal person and sometimes like a shoyte, kedushin motzi mekadosh, then you could argue maybe he was able to do kedushin because at the time he did the kedushin he was normal. But when it comes to Gerushin, maybe he doesn't have that same level of intelligence anymore. So then he can't be Megarish. Mai, so what would be the din? And the answer is Teku. And the halacha is not like Rabbi Lazar anyway. The halacha is not like Rabbi Lazar anyway, so therefore it's kind of a moot point. The halacha is in fact that Eishes Cheresh Yipater from an Ashram Tolerate, because we say that the whole thing only existed Abanan, and anyway we say you'd need Shtei Chatichas. And the Mishnah continued nishtatis v'chula, that if the woman became a shoita, we said that you can't divorce her. Dvar Torah shoita miskareshes. The truth is that mina Torah, a shoita would be able to be divorced. Midi to have apikachas ba'al kocha, because no different than a regular normal woman who's being divorced against her will. Until Chedem Derben Agershim, the din was that a woman can be divorced without her will. So fine, she doesn't have a will, she doesn't have a das, doesn't matter. So a shoita would be the same thing.
You're learning from the pasuk.
V'shulcha mibeisei, exactly. So there you go. One second, we're going to use v'shulcha mibeisei. We're going to use v'shulcha mibeisei in a minute. Wait. Okay, one second. We're jumping a little bit ahead. There's two phrases in that pasuk that talk about a get that bear on this. You have the pasuk v'nasan biyada, that he puts the get into her hand, which implies that she has a yad, that she has the capability of taking something and holding on to it, and you have a shulcha mibesa that you're able to tell her, go away, leave my house, and she'll know not to come back.
She knows she's enough.
So that's the what we're saying over here is that a shoita is able to be divorced because you don't need her das. Umatam omra ena megurashes. But why did the chachamim say you can't divorce her? In order that people don't treat her hefker. She's a shoita, she doesn't know how to take care of herself. If you allow the husband to divorce her when she's a shoita, then people are going to go and take advantage of her. People are going to go and seduce her and be mezana with her and whatever without her being able to protect herself.
But they won't, because now they know she's still an ashes-ish, right?
Like this, she's still an ashes-ish. So yeah, so her husband will look after her.
He has to look after her.
Yeah. By the way, Poskim are discussing over here when they say Eina Megureshes. What about Bidyevet? If a guy does divorce his wife when she's a shaita, is it chal or not?
It depends.
Is it that we're saying he shouldn't divorce her, but Bidyevet, if he did, then fine, it's chal? Or do we mean even if he divorced her, it's not even chal?
Maybe you have to see if she understood what was happening.
Now, one second. The question is Hechidami. What kind of shaita are we talking about? If she knows how to watch her get, when you give her the get, she knows how to hold on to it and not lose it. And v'yadas lishma atzma, she knows how to watch herself, she knows how to guard herself against strangers. Well then, minagi b'minag hefker, nobody's going to treat her hefker. What's the problem with divorcing her? Ela de'en yadas lishma le'gitav le'atzma, if she doesn't know even how to watch her get, you give her the get and she'll right away lose it. And she doesn't know how to guard herself either. Dvar Torah shoyta miskareshes, then what do you mean minat Torah a shoyta would be able to be divorced? The nasan v'yada, when the pasuk says you give the get into her hand, it means mishi yeshla yad legarish atzma. It means only if she has a hand, only if she has the capability of accepting in her hand to divorce herself, that she's able to accept it and know that it's a get and hold on to it. Yotzazu shein lo yad legarish atzma, as opposed to this case, a shoita like that who doesn't even know how to watch or get, she's not considered to have a yad. She's not considered to have the capability to do a kinyan. And the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, and in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught a different limud. The Shulcha Mibesei, when the pasuk says you send her away from your house, implies Mishim Shalcha Vayin Chazeres, that what kind of woman are you able to divorce? Somebody who you send her away and she knows not to come back. Yotzazu Shem Shalcha V'Chazeres, as opposed to a Shoita where even if you send her away, she's going to come right back. So that's not a Shulcha, yeah. So what do you mean you're able to divorce her Minat Torah? The answer is you're right, but the case would be when is Rabbi Yitzchak saying that Minat Torah you'd be able to divorce a shoita is the intermediate case. She knows how to watch her get. You give her the get, she'll know how to hold on to it, but she doesn't know how to hold. She doesn't know how to watch herself, so people may take advantage of her. So then. So then, Dvar Torah Shoita Mishkareshes, Do Yadas Lishmogita, because she does know how to watch her get, and she'll also know once you send her away, she'll know she was given a get, and she'll know not to come back. But V'omer Rabbanan Loy Lipka, but the Rabbanan should said that she should not go out, you're not allowed to divorce her, Shalo Yinagbo Minag Hefker, so that people don't treat her Hefker. Tosfos, by the way, has a long discussion over here, the long Tosfos over here, Yotzazu. Does it make a difference if she's a Ketana who still has a father? Maybe her father can accept the get on her behalf. Maybe she may not have a yad to accept the get, but maybe her father. Maybe her father does, and her father also will prevent her from returning to her husband's house. Or maybe not. Maybe we say that maybe No, Ketana Shoita. Ketana Shoita, yeah.
But we said that Ketana doesn't get a get, she only has miyun.
No. Ketana can get a get. She has the option of miyun. But she most certainly can receive a get. Yeah.
Mandatory. It's only an option.
Yeah, it's an option. Yeah.
I thought by Ketana mean is the only.
No.
So by Ketana mean is
okay. New. Okay. It's not. Yeah. So And Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi over here that makes a long distinction about why we say that a shoita can't be divorced. One is this business about that she can't watch or get. The other one is that mipnei grira, which Tosfos has a long discussion what grira means. Does it mean that she'll follow anybody, which is effectively what we're saying over here, noigim amin hefker, or does it mean grira in the sense that, what would the other meaning of grira mean over here? That her father was not able to guard her from hefker. Yeah. So Tosfos has a long discussion about the pros and cons of it. Anyway. Amar Abaye Dekanami. So Abaye says, in fact, you can see this distinction from the words of the Mishnah. Dekatani Gabididon Ishtatis Lo Yotzi. When it comes to a woman who is a shoita, it says that a woman who became a shoita, you're not able to divorce. The Gabididay Lo Yotzi Olomis. Whereas when the man becomes a shoita, it says he can't divorce her forever. Now, so what would be the difference? Why in one case does it say forever and the other not? Obviously, the Mishnah itself is trying to show a distinction that a shoita, a shoita is not able to divorce midaraisa because he doesn't have the das to give a get. Whereas a woman, whereas a shoita, at least in the case that we just talked about, the only reason you can't divorce her is because midrabanan. Because again, she's able to receive the get and watch it. She's just not able to watch herself. Then the Mishnah said, "Amar Rabbi Yechin ben Nuri v'chola." That Rabbi Yechin ben Nuri had objected in the Mishnah. He said, "What do you mean that a woman who's a cheresh is able to be divorced, but a man who became a cheresh is not able to divorce?" He wants to say that they should both be on the same level. If a man who was a pekeach and became a cheresh is not able to divorce his wife now, because it would only be a get to rabbanon, then a woman who became a cheresh is not able to be divorced either. So that's the question. Is it that Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri knows for a fact that a man who's a cheresh, is not able to divorce his wife, but he's asking in that case, should the same thing be the case with a woman? Or is it the other way around? He knows for a fact that a woman, a cheresh, is able to be divorced because you don't need her das. Maybe a husband who became a cheresh is also able to divorce. Maybe he would argue. Toshma. Midika Amrule, well look, in the Mishnah, the Rabbanan answer him, you can't compare a man who gives a divorce to a woman who receives the divorce, because a woman can be divorced with her will or against it, whereas a man can only divorce with his will, with his consent. That goes to show that since the Rabbanan are telling him that you can't compare the man to the woman, obviously the implication is he knows what the din is by the woman, and he's thinking the din should be different from what the Chachamim are saying by the man, that the man should be able to be Megarish. And they're telling him not. Question is, Adarabba, Midikamalu Afzuka Yetziba, Midikamrule, since they tell him, who is it that tells who? The Mishnah doesn't say either way, actually. Oh yeah, Omrulai Afzuka Yetziba, yeah. So since they tell him Afzuka Yetziba, also she is the same way. She, the Chershes, is the same way, they said, as a Chershes who was married off by her father, where she's able to receive a get. So that would show that his suffix is on the woman. They're telling him, you know what, if you look at Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudra's testimony, you see there that even a cheresh who was married in a way that's deraisa, namely her father married her off, you're still able to give her a get, even though on the face of it the get only exists derabanan, because doesn't it exist deraisa? She's able to receive it without her das. They're trying to prove that to him. Obviously, he wanted to argue that the woman has to receive the get with her das, and they're arguing to him not. So rather, Elo Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri l'divreim kamalahu. So no, what we could say is Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri is saying to the Chachamim, according to your own logic, he tells them, Lididi, according to me, ki hecha de ish leimatzi megarish, isha nami leimagarisha. According to me, I would hold that neither of them is a cheresh, you can't do gerish. And if he's a cheresh, he's not able to give a get. I agree to that, because it has to be midaitoi. Same thing, she also would not be able to be divorced. He's asking according to you that you're saying that a woman can be divorced, that a chereshes can be divorced. Ma'ishno isho, ma'ishno ish. So what would be the difference between a woman and a man? And omru loy, and therefore they answer him, ain't a daimo isham garish li isham eskaresh. That you can't compare. So therefore you could say, in other words, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri himself wants to argue that wants to argue, I know for a fact the ish, I'm asking about the isha. But he's asking to them, according to you, if you're saying that the isha is able to, then why is the ish not able to?
So they answer to Rabbi.
And they answer, then they answer that the ish, that there's a difference between the ish and the isha. So in other words, so each of them had a, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri himself versus what he's arguing with Chachamim, there's a different kind of suffix in each case. Then the Mishnah had said, hey, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah had said, Eidos, that a Chershes who was married off by her father, where again the marriage exists there at Isa, that she's able to receive a get. Amar Rava, may Eidos say, Shah Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah, based on Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah's Eidos, we can learn another din. If the husband says to the wives, look, I'm going to be giving this get that I'm holding, I'm going to be giving to my wife.
Today,
he says to the Edim, see this get that I'm going to be giving my wife. But then he turns to his wife and says, "Kansi shtar chayv zeh." Here, take this shtar chayv. So he does not tell her it's a get. He makes her think that it's actually a shtar chayv, an IOU. Nevertheless, she's divorced. How do we see that? Because didn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah say you don't require her das? That's why he says that a chereshes, even though she has no das or she has only a weak das, as we said before, she's able to receive a get. The same thing over here. You don't need her das. Question is pshita. Well, in that case, isn't that obvious? The answer is maybe if he's telling his wife take this shtar chayv, effectively batule batle. Maybe that means by saying that he's being mevatel. He says I don't want it to have the effect of a get anymore. I just want it to be treated as if it was a shtar chayv.
Isn't he tricking her?
Yeah.
Isn't he talking about ksuva?
No, he's talking about get.
No, but it says shtar chayv.
No, but it would mean that. In other words, I don't want it to have the effect of a get. He's saying.
But I thought he's saying that this is ksuva. He doesn't want to say.
No. She's holding her ksuva. He's not giving it to her. She holds the ksuba in her possession. So maybe if he's calling it a shtar chayv, it means he wants to be mevatelet. Kamash malon, that's the chiddush that Rava is saying that not. Because he is a debatle, because if he really wanted to be mevatelet, la'edim have a ka'amalu, he would have told the edim that I don't want it to be considered a get anymore. Since he did not tell the edim that it's a shtar chayv, since he told them that I'm giving it as a get, that means he wasn't mevatelet. So in that case, why did he say to his wife at the shtar chayv, machmas kisufa hu dekar malahu? He's saying he's embarrassed. He's embarrassed to actually go over to her and say, here is your get. So instead he pretends it's a shtar chayv. But nevertheless, because you don't need her das, then therefore it's not a problem. So Tosfos asks the question, in that case, what's that got anything to do with Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah's svara? Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah is saying you don't need her das. How does that have anything to do with... How does that have anything to do with this last business that we're saying that he's allowed, that he says something different because he's embarrassed? So the answer is that, the point is that Rava is telling, that when we said pshita, we thought that Rava is just repeating what Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah says. When we add this detail, that when Rava is adding this detail that he misled her into thinking this shtar, that it's a shtar chayv, you're right, that's not so pashut, that's not so obvious from, he doesn't mean, in other words, Rava doesn't mean that what I'm saying can directly be derived from Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah's statement. Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah tells us you don't need das. Based on that, we can come up with a new concept where you see that you don't need her das. So it's not directly, it's not a direct out, it's an indirect outgrowth, sort of what Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah said. Yeah. But nevertheless, it's good enough. The next piece of Gemara tomorrow is the sugya. The Gemara is going to start here. The sugya tomorrow of this business that we've talked about the last couple of days about katan oichel nevelus, that if a child is doing an aveira on his own, do we have to prevent it? Okay. Tomorrow, Rez Hashem.